Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Welcome to the Serial Killer Podcast, the podcast dedicated to serial killers, who they were, what they did, and how. Episode 193. We continue our sojourn into the American South tonight with our expose covering Donald Pee-wee Gaskins, the meanest man in America. Last episode, we detailed his childhood and youth, and in this installment of his saga, I bring to you the full bloom of his most depraved and heinous acts of murder. Enjoy. As always, I want to publicly thank my elite TSK Producers Club. Their names are Amy, Boo, Brenda, Cassandra, Christy, Cody, Colleen, Connor, Corbin, Craig, Sid, Derek, Emily, Fawn, Florida Man, James, Janine, Jennifer, John, Johnny, Jonathan, Caitlin, Kathy, Christina, Kylie, Lance, Lisa, Lisbeth, Magic Man, Marilyn, Meow, Missy, Nick, Oakley, Operation Brownie Pockets, Robert O, Robert R, Russell, Sabina, Skortnia, Scott, Sputnik the Radio, Susanna, The Duggletons, Trent, Val, and Vanessa. You are the backbone of the Serial Killer Podcast, and without you, there would be no show. You have my deepest gratitude. Thank you. I am forever grateful for my elite TSK Producers Club, and I want to show you that your patronage is not given in vain. All TSK episodes will be available 100% ad-free to my TSK Producers Club on patreon.com/theserialkillerpodcast. No generic ads, no ad reads, no jingles. I promise. And of course, if you wish to donate $15 a month, that's only $7.50 per episode. You are more than welcome to join the ranks of the TSK Producers Club, too. So don't miss out and join now.
Imagine, if you will, dear listener, a small, thin man standing on a dusty sidewalk. Behind him lies a large complex of buildings, a federal penitentiary. In his hands is a bag with his meager belongings. It's hot and humid, and the man, known to everyone as Pee-wee, is brooding. He's angry, and he wants payback for all the suffering he has gone through. After his parole was granted, Gaskins only had to follow one condition. He was barred from entering into Florence County, South Carolina, for 2 years. As with many other things in his life, this angered Gaskins greatly. He wanted to see his daughter, Shirley, who was married and had 2 children of her own. Not one to care much for the law, he still went to visit his mother, daughter, and other family members. Soon he moved to the nearby town of Sumter, where he got a job working as a roofer for a construction company. On the weekends, he still stole, repainted, and sold cars. During the summer of 1968, Pee-wee was feeling troubled by a bothersome pain. The pain began, according to him, in his testicles, traveled up his spine, into his stomach and head, where it would settle behind his eyes like a migraine. According to Pee-wee in later interviews, it was then that a voice telling him to kill and or harm someone started to speak to him. The quote-unquote pain told him to kill his first wife, Mary. Very much tempted, but still having some moral scruples, he left her and other family members alone. The urge to kill only grew stronger. So Pee-wee started cruising his future hunting ground, the coastal highway that ran between Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and Savannah, Georgia. Here he would look for hitchhikers to be his future victims. Like some serial killers have described, he did not know exactly who or what he was looking for. The person he chose had to trigger something inside. The person had to be, quote-unquote, the one. Kind of like speed dating, only with far more sinister end goals. The following year, Pee-wee gave in to his urges. In September 1969, he killed his first victim, a blonde girl who told him her name was Angie, whom he had picked up on Pawley's Island. Angie was not a prostitute, although reading sources online seem to hint at this. She was a young woman, I have not managed to ascertain her age, looking for a ride. Pee-wee found her very attractive, and asked her if she would have sex with him in return for him giving her a ride. The girl laughed in his face. This triggered a tidal wave of pent-up anger and desires inside Pee-wee. He stopped smiling and soon turned off the highway and onto a gravel road going into a deserted area. The girl was by now terrified and pleaded with him to let her go. Pee-wee did not respond, but after a short drive, stopped the car and got out. He went around the car and dragged the by now screaming girl out and at knife point told her to strip, which she did. Then he forced her to perform oral sex on him before violently raping her both vaginally and anally. Just before climaxing, he pulled out and stabbed his dagger into her rectum and sliced the girl open through her vagina. The shock and pain was unimaginable, and blood was bursting out in huge quantities. He kept her lying down, and as she was howling in pain and fear, he bit off her left nipple and spat it out. He masturbated over her as she lay whimpering, spasming, and bloody beneath him, and after he ejaculated, he stomped hard on her pelvic bone so that it broke. By now, Angie was unconscious. He sank her and the rest of her belongings into a river and took her money. Angie was still breathing when Pee-wee placed her underwater and came to life from the shock of the cold water. Pee-wee simply held her thrashing body under until she went still. He dragged the lifeless body to a nearby swamp and weighed down the corpse with stones so that it sank into the swampy marsh. After his first murder, Pee-wee recalled in later interviews, and here I quote, "I felt truly the best I ever remember feeling in my whole life," end quote. After this first murder, Pee-wee was ravenous. The urge he had felt for so many years, he was by now 36 years old, had finally been released, and he wanted more. Much more. Only 6 weeks after the murder of Angie, he picked up another hitchhiker named Daisy. She was from Jacksonville, Florida. She suffered the same fate as Angie. First, she was tortured by being sliced open with a knife. Then he bit her almost as if he wanted to eat her. And then he drowned her in a nearby swamp and sank her body into the marsh. 6 weeks after this, he killed yet another woman hitchhiking. It was by then Christmas. I have tried to find more details about the latter two victims, but they are victims only verified by Pee-wee, as their bodies were never found. All three victims were murdered near the coast of South Carolina, hence why he sank their bodies into swampland. In 1970, Pee-wee kept up his pace of a new coastal kill every 6 weeks. He experimented with different weapons, rape, and cannibalism. The 1970s victims were never identified, and the method of murder is repeated here, as Pee-wee himself described them in later interviews. I have little doubt that most of his descriptions are real, knowing what we do know about his verified murders later on. Sometimes Pee-wee would keep his victims alive for several days, keeping them tied to a tree or inside an abandoned building. On some of his unnamed and unknown victims, he would slice off parts of their body while they were still alive. Then he would force them to watch as he cooked and ate the body parts. Although Pee-wee seemed to prefer female victims, he did not shy away from victimizing other men and young boys. He killed two boys with long hair because at first he thought they were girls. The boys were sodomized and tortured in extreme ways, the most gruesome being Pee-wee slicing off their penis and testicles while they were still alive, then cooking and eating the penises in front of both boys before finally murdering them by cutting their throats. According to Pee-wee himself, he had difficulty remembering each individual victim as there were so many of them. The only one of his coastal victims Pee-wee could ever recall by their full name was Ann Culberson, a 16-year-old he picked up near Myrtle Beach in 1971. At the time, he was not actively on the hunt, but he did not want to pass up a potential victim to feed his addiction. So he tortured Anne for 4 days before finally killing her with a hammer and dumping her body in quicksand. Very few of the early coastal kills are verified by law enforcement, and although Pee-wee claims to have killed around 100 people in total, he might also have been exaggerating. As I like to say on this podcast, serial killers all share one trait. They lie. One thing that bothers your humble host is how many of the most famous serial killers, like Pee-wee Gaskins, are not infamous for their pedophilia, but simply the fact of their many murders. During this podcast, I have discovered to myself a shocking amount of clear evidence that many of the most infamous serial killers, from BTK to Jeffrey Dahmer and now Pee-wee Gaskins, were rabid pedophiles. Pee-wee had lusted after his own family members for years, but not until he had started killing and killing again, feeling powerful and invincible, did he act on those desires. One night in November 1970, Pee-wee's niece, 15-year-old Janice, and her 17-year-old friend Patricia had been out drinking with friends and called home for a ride. Pee-wee saw a murderous opportunity that he wasted no time acting upon. Some people might argue with me that lusting after a 15-year-old is not pedophilia, and perhaps there are gray zones. But for the purpose of this podcast, I define anyone under the age of 16, the age of consent in Norway, as a child, and sexual crimes against them as pedophilia.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Instead of driving the girls home, Pee-wee drove to an abandoned house where he forced them to strip completely naked. The girls, however, did not willingly go into the night and fought bravely for their lives. They each managed to pick up a wooden plank and hit Pee-wee on the head when he was momentarily distracted with unbuttoning his trousers. Pee-wee was a small man, and the girls might have succeeded if not for Pee-wee having a gun. Bleeding from the head and furious, he slammed the gun against the girl's head and they fell unconscious to the ground. Then he handcuffed them behind their back and took his time raping each girl anally and vaginally. The girls woke up from the searing pain the rape caused, and he probably tortured them, although little information is available about this. When he felt sexually sated, he dragged the girls to a nearby septic tank. A septic tank is filled with human excrement, i.e. feces and urine. While the girls were flailing and begging for their lives, he one by one lowered them headfirst into the human waste and watched them drown. He then buried their bodies in two different locations in shallow graves. The police eventually questioned him about his involvement in his niece's and her friend's disappearances. He told police that he had seen them the night of their disappearance, but said he saw them get into a car full of boys he did not know. With no evidence or bodies, the police did not have anything else to go on, and the case went cold for several years. Killing young girls turned out to be Pee-wee Gaskin's favorite kind of murder. Only a month after the rape and murder of his young niece, he was once more out on the hunt. This time it was 13-year-old Peggy Cutino, the daughter of South Carolina Senator James Cutino. Pee-wee abducted her, raped her, strangled and beat her until she was dead. Sated and feeling wonderful, he left her body in the woods in Sumter, South Carolina. Based on Pee-wee's criminal past, the police questioned him in the murder, but he had an alibi. I have not found out, dear listener, what this alibi was, but it could not have been a very strong one. The police eventually pinned the murder on William Jr. Pierce, another local serial killer for Peggy's murder. Piers denied killing Coutinho at first, but later falsely confessed. After a local sheriff, who wanted the case solved as soon as possible, beat and tortured him into confessing. Yes, you heard that right. People have this idea that in the West, police never misbehave when questioning suspects. It might be that today, with all interrogations by law must be fully recorded, that we see less mistreatment of suspects, but I have my doubts. Here in Norway, it has recently come to light several high-profile murder cases, where it turns out the alleged criminals, in actuality, had nothing to do with the crime. But brutal police methods during questioning, as well as tampering with evidence, and a compliant media who loves to condemn suspects before any legally binding verdict, caused innocent men and women to be convicted. So, it does not surprise me in the least that known serial killers have been attributed crimes they had nothing to do with. On New Year's Eve 1970, Pee-wee married his fifth wife. Later that year, she gave birth to his second child, a son they named Donald Lee Gaskins. Even though he had an outward appearance of being a family man, those who knew Pee-wee were aware of his criminal past and reputation. Shortly after his son was born, Pee-wee went back to stealing and reselling stolen cars to make some extra money. In 1971, he continued terrorizing the South Carolina coastal highway. This year, Pee-wee murdered a local African-American woman. This was 20-year-old Martha Dix, who sometimes went by the name Clyde. Dix was later identified as either a lesbian or a trans person. This was in the early 70s, so it is difficult to ascertain what was the case. In any case, Martha was not a random stranger. Martha was infatuated with Pee-wee and told friends they were expecting a child together. This was all a fantasy, and Pee-wee grew enraged by her lies. One night, Pee-wee invited her over to spend the night. She excitedly accepted, thinking that he was finally going to give in to her romantic advances. Once at his house, Gaskin offered her $5 for oral sex and some pills. Pee-wee then handcuffed her, punched her, and force-fed her a bottle of pills. I've not managed to find out what type of pills he forcefully gave her, but I can speculate that they were probably sleeping pills. After she died from the purposeful drug overdose, Pee-wee dumped her body in a ditch. This is one of Pee-wee's less brutal murders, one he committed not out of pure bloodlust, but because he wanted her to stop lying and obsessing about him. The same year, Pee-wee moved himself and his family to Charleston, South Carolina. There he continued as he had for a good while, stealing cars, repainting them, and hunting for humans to murder. The first murders after the move was two more African-American people. Eddie Brown had sold several guns to Pee-wee, including some that were stolen from the military. Pee-wee grew increasingly nervous after Eddie told him that federal agents had heard about the stolen weapons in Charleston and were investigating. Worried that Eddie Brown was setting him up or selling him out to the feds, he shot both Eddie and his wife, Bertie Brown, and dumped their bodies behind a barn where his niece, Janice, was buried. While in Charleston, he also killed another young woman, Ann Culberson. He kept and tortured Culberson in an abandoned house for 4 days, after which he killed her by bashing her in the head with a ball-peen hammer. He buried Culberson in the same grave with Janice. Let us pause for a moment, dear listener. Try to imagine, if you will, being kept against your will in a decrepit, abandoned house where no one can hear you scream. You are probably naked and tied up so you cannot move. A small, gangly-looking man is the one who abducted you, and he has raped you over and over again in every possible way, forced you to perform sexual acts on him and on yourself while he masturbates. Then he started cutting you. The pain is extreme as he cuts off pieces of your body and a pool of sticky blood forms beneath you. Then the man leaves, after again tying you up. The wounds he inflicted upon you hurts more than anything you have ever felt, and as night falls, you freeze. Not enough to die, but enough to cause significant discomfort. You pass out more than sleep from the shock, pain, and fear. When you wake up, it's warm again, but you are still bound and your wounds throb. Then the man returns and repeats what he did yesterday. This time he cuts off one of your breasts. A bit later, after more rape and more cutting, you cry and shake and shiver, again all tied up. The man is lighting a fire, and he takes your breast and puts it on a stick. Then he starts cooking it over the fire. Afterwards, he eats it in front of you. Then he forces you to take a bite. You vomit afterwards. 2 more days this goes on for. The final day, day 4 of this living hell, he returns, and this time you're so cut up and sick from all the infections in your wounds, malnourishment and lack of water, that you are in a daze. He rapes you again, and you have no strength to resist. When he's done, he picks up a hammer. Even though you are dazed and tired beyond what you thought possible, adrenaline still courses through you like ice as fear flares up from the sight of the hammer. You beg him for one last time to let you live, but he only sneers at you as he raises the hammer. He hammers down on your head. Your hands are bound behind you so you cannot shield yourself. The pain is immediate, and the world flashes white. More blows land, and the world grows dark, and then you are gone. The Gaskins family moved back to Prospect, South Carolina, in July 1973, after their house in Charleston burned down. Pee-wee never admitted to committing arson against his own property, but claimed some neighborhood boys burned it down. Considering his past with arson, it is highly plausible that he was responsible for the fire. Once back in Prospect, Pee-wee picked right back up and continued with his coastal kills. One of the many murders that followed was that of 14-year-old runaway named Jackie Freeman, whom he raped and tortured. Eventually, he cannibalized a piece of her calf muscle after keeping her alive for 2 days. What makes his torture and murder of young Jackie even more despicable is that he later told investigators that he liked Jackie. He described her as quote-unquote special. Still, he treated her worse than any non-psychopath would treat even their worst enemy.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
And with that, we come to the end of part two of this expose covering Pee Wee Gaskins. I hope you enjoyed listening to me telling it to you. Next episode will continue this grim saga. So as they say in the land of radio, stay tuned. What follows is a message to my dear Norwegian listeners in Norwegian. Jeg minner om at min norskspråklige podcast, Seriemorderpodden, tilgjengelig å lytte til både på Spotify, Apple Podcasts og alle andre steder du hører på podcast. Vi godt I gang med en ny saga, denne gangen om ingen ringere enn Albert Fish. Så som de sier I Radioland, følg med.